Hi, I'm John Mark Grodi, here with my father Marcus at the Coming Home Network. And a central question around which our work is based is this question of, do non-Catholic Christians need to become Catholic? And you had a news article that you brought up that we were reflecting on earlier.
Well, the reason it's such an ongoing question for us is because when we began the work 25 plus years ago, I was a former Protestant minister that became Catholic. We just assumed that because the data we had learned and the history we had discovered, early church fathers, all that, that yeah, you come home to the Catholic Church. That's what the church had always taught. And the reason for the Coming Home Network was to help other non-Catholic Christians discover the beauty of the church. Clergy or laity, come home to the church. Well, in these 25 years, we've realized there's an awful lot of people out there that question that and are not sure whether that's what the church still teaches. You don't hear it enough. And maybe what we experience is a more hyper-ecumenical emphasis that kind of downplays that, so you just don't hear it. But on top of that, and that's the article, it just came out this morning.
Yeah, I was seeing it online. Yeah.
It says that just one-third of U.S. Catholics agree with their church that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ. A new Pew Research Center survey finds that most self-described Catholics don't believe this core teaching. In fact, wow, nearly 7 in 10 Catholics say they personally believe that during Mass, the bread and wine used in communion, quote, are symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ and not the true body and blood. So the point is, we're living at a time when there's an awful lot of Catholics that don't know their faith. And if they don't know their faith well enough and aren't strongly committed to their faith, it's understandable that they may not feel the incentive to tell their non-Catholic brothers and sisters to come home to the church.
Right.
The statistics say that 20% of Americans mm-hmm. claim to be Catholic.
Right.
You ask any bishop, and they'll tell you at best half of those Catholics don't go to Mass, which means that only 1 out of 10 Americans, 1 out of 10, even attend Mass. Mm-hmm. 1 out of 10 Americans, if they died tonight, would be the only ones dying in the sacrament. Mm. So when the question is, do they need to come home to the church? Well, the question anymore, does anybody believe that the church is necessary?
Right.
And that's the reason for our work. And we could spend a lot of time talking about this, but mm-hmm. what I thought we'd do is just look at 5 places in the catechism that address this question. Is it necessary for our family and friends to become Catholic? Mm-hmm. And if you will, that touches why the Coming Home Network exists, mm-hmm. why we believe that our message is important.
Right. All right. And this is an easy study. I mean, you were looking for quotes just from the catechism, and you had like 5 pages of quotes here. You just were to pick 5 to look at today, I think. But the catechism has a lot to say of what is necessary for us.
What is necessary for salvation? Mm-hmm. And the problem is a lot of opinions. Whenever you go to a funeral, everybody says, well, she's in a better place. We just assume everybody's going to heaven. Well, that ain't what our Lord Jesus taught. That right. isn't what the church teaches. So what is necessary for salvation? Is the church necessary for salvation? And by just doing a search of what's necessary in the catechism, mm-hmm. we got 5 pages.
Right.
But we'll just look at 5 things.
Sure.
And the first one addresses the subject straight on. And in paragraph 846, it addresses the question, how are we to understand this affirmation often repeated by the church fathers? In other words, no salvation outside the church. And here's what it quotes from Vatican II. Basing itself on scripture and tradition, the council teaches that the church, a pilgrim now on earth, is necessary for salvation. The one Christ is the mediator and the way of salvation. He is present to us in his body, which is the church. He himself explicitly asserted the necessity of faith and baptism, and therefore affirmed at the same time the necessity of the church, which men enter through baptism as through a door. Hence, they could not be saved who, knowing that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God through Christ, would refuse either to enter or to remain in it. That's the teaching of the church. Now, how that's lived out, how we talk about that with our neighbor, the nuance of it, that's one thing. But that's the teaching of the church. Mm-hmm. Now, what that means is, if our neighbor who isn't a Catholic, if they die, and by God's mercy, they end up in his presence, they've been saved through the church, whether they know it or not, because that's the means that our Lord gave us for baptism.
Right.
The proclamation of the gospel.
Yeah, I mean, it's often pointed out in relation to this topic, you know, that we can't judge another person's soul. We don't know where they're at, and that's true. But we don't know that in either direction. We don't know another person is in danger of losing their salvation. We also don't know where a person is in relationship to salvation. And we know ourselves that we're not living out the faith every day the way that we ought to. We're all at a dangerous place. We're all needing to get up every day and continue that conversion. And so, you know, with other people as well as ourselves, we need the fullness. We need the continued growth. It's not a minimalist faith. What's the minimum I need to do to get over the line?
Yeah.
What's the most I can do to embrace what Christ wants to give me in this life?
Well, talking about minimal, so what is at least the message here? At least the message is we would want people to be part of the church.
Right.
That's the minimal. You know, we really want that. And so we want to tell people the beauty of the church, the history of the church. We recognize scandals throughout its history, we recognize its faults. Hey, when I joined the church, it got a lot worse. You know, I mean, we're sinners in need of salvation. And so, but the church is the channel, if you will, the reservoir of grace that our Lord gave us. A second topic is in paragraph 1896. I think this is really important given just the news we see every day. It says, where sin has perverted the social climate, it is necessary to call for the conversion of hearts and appeal to the grace of God. Charity urges just reforms. There is no solution to the social question apart from the gospel.
Right.
You know, we can't turn to the news without, you know, a mass slaying, you know, every other day, or changes in our social, sexual culture, ideas about marriage, sexuality, about abortion, about life, all these issues, and we're surrounded by opinions.
Right.
And we can't let truth be merely determined democratically. Mm-hmm. The most people that believe something, is that what's true? No, we need to recognize that with all the answers out there in our culture, the bottom line is we need conversion of heart.
Mm-hmm.
We need to recognize sin for what it is. We need to ask for God's grace in our culture. We need to proclaim the gospel.
Yeah.
And that's what the Coming Home Network is all about.
Yeah, faith and salvation, they can't be compartmentalized. They're not one part of our life alongside our political life and our social life and our financial life. It's all of a piece. And it's, again, I think it's only in the Catholic Church that we have the full breadth and width of, you know, the richness of the gospel, of scripture, of tradition, where we can weave that all together. We can understand how the whole fits together. And again, that's another reason that we want to share the whole, is that we can't live a compartmentalized life. It's our whole life is to be submitted to the gospel and integrated.
Part of the reason I think so many Catholics believe it doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or not is because there are public figures who claim to be Catholic but then teach things against the church or live contrary to the teaching. So they're implying, well, it really doesn't matter.
Right.
And when you see that in the news and on the news, it's confusing, especially for our young.
Right.
And we're committed, and through everything we do in the Coming Home Network, is to proclaim the fullness of the truth. And of course, we're committed to living it too.
Yeah.
We can't be a compromise,
right.
But we at least need to get the message out there, regardless of what happens. Mm-hmm. So the necessity of the church, our Lord teaches, and the necessity of the gospel to infiltrate culture. A third area is in paragraph 161, believing in Jesus Christ and the one who sent him for our salvation is necessary for obtaining that salvation. I mean, the bottom line is our Lord says no one can come to the Father except by me. And so certainly we know that we're surrounded by people who may not believe in our Lord anymore, our neighbors who don't go to church, our family members who've fallen away. Well, what do we do? Do we just presume, we'll leave them to the mercy of God? Well, our Lord didn't do that.
Right.
Paul didn't do that. Peter didn't do that. The apostles didn't do it. The early church fathers, the history of the church, the great saints didn't do that. Part of our mission is to get the message out there. And there's an awful lot of people that feel uncomfortable face to face with a neighbor. Hey, I'm the exact same way. I'm much more comfortable on television, radio, or in a pulpit than I am face to face with my neighbor. I know that. But that's one of the reasons why we provide resources that provide this message, so we can say, you know, hey, why don't you check out this book? Or why don't you go to our website? Or we've got this video. That's another way that even you, if you have a family or a friend that's apart from faith at all, somehow get them to go to the website, and you'll find some information to help.
Well, and the Coming Home Network stands at such an interesting cross section, because on the one hand, you know, in relation to this paragraph 161, is that we hear from so many Christians who indeed they believe in Jesus Christ and in the one who sent him. They believe in Christ. They've come to know Christ. They're committed. They're convicted. And they're coming from all sorts of different backgrounds, Lutheran, Baptist, fundamentalist, all kinds of backgrounds. They're coming to us. You know, they talk with others. They read the resources. You know, they fight the battles and enter the church. And then oftentimes they're the ones turning around and talking to disenfranchised Catholics and helping them to come to know Christ that somehow they missed in the first place. And so there's this, we see an interesting cross-section of people in our work with people in the Coming Home Network.
Yeah, as you mentioned, we have this unique dialogue in our work where we have deeply committed Christians who aren't Catholics. We also have deeply committed Catholics who don't know Christ very well. So we have this interesting dialogue going on where sometimes it's our separated brethren that are helping Catholics discover the Jesus they should have known all along. But the reason some might say, well, what about those Christians that aren't Catholics? Does it make a difference whether they're Catholic? Well, the problem is, but what does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does it entail to believe in Jesus?
Right.
And you have a million opinions out there amongst our separated brethren, whether they're Calvinist or Methodist or Pentecostal or faith or health and wealth gospel or high church Lutheran or very low church Baptist. Right. What does it mean to believe in Jesus?
We praise God wherever someone has come to know Christ and to commit their life to Christ. We celebrate that. We're glad to hear about that. You know, our fellow baptized Christians, but where do they go from there? Where's the trajectory of their particular group, you know?
Yeah, and we want to make sure that their belief in Jesus is authentically salvific, whether it will bring them home. Do they really believe in Jesus? I mean, you got the great Jesus Project going on that has influenced so many people, the Jesus Seminar, that has completely painted a different picture of Jesus. Or all that Jesus is about is merely helping the poor. Well, that's a good thing, but it's also about growing in holiness.
Right.
And accepting suffering and detachment from the world.
Right.
So the fullness of the gospel
is
really what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. A fourth one, again, there's so many we could go through, but a fourth one is in paragraph 1129 of the Catechism. The Church affirms that for believers, the sacraments of the new covenant are necessary for salvation. Sacramental grace is the grace of the Holy Spirit given by Christ and proper to each sacrament. So we mentioned earlier the necessity of baptism. And so it isn't really enough to presume that because someone says, I believe in Jesus, that we know from the earliest days of the church in Scripture itself, early church fathers, that the norm was that through baptism we become enlightened. We become new creatures in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. That's how a person enters into the body of Christ.
Right.
So baptism, when we look at the history of, for example, the great Jesuit missionaries that came to Canada to help the Huron Indians discover, they were willing to give up their lives to merely baptize the babies of the Indians because they knew how important it was.
Because the sacraments do something. Yeah. You know, there's the faith part of this, which is, again, believing in Christ and the one who sent him. But then in obedience to Christ, we are to enter into the sacraments, which do something. Baptism does something. The Eucharist is a real thing and it has real effects. So it's not just it's not only my faith, it's not only going through the motions or liking this nice ceremony. The actual sacraments have an actual effect. That's what we believe. And if that's the case, then it's important for someone to be informed about the sacraments and to be invited into them.
Which again affirms the fact that even Catholics need to sometimes relearn this great gift that Catholics have.
Right.
I mean, this article that talked about even just a third of Catholics even believe in the Eucharist anymore.
Right.
You know, that it's not just a symbol. It really is the body and blood of Christ. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, we we must not receive the sacraments unworthily.
Right.
Why would he say that? Except the fact that there's something really significant
right.
here. So in these, just in these quotes, we've talked about the necessity of the church as established by Christ, the necessity of that church in its message in culture mm-hmm. because of what's going on, the necessity of believing in Christ, Jesus Christ for salvation, the necessity of then that the sacraments as the channel of grace. But there's that last one that I want to emphasize, and that's in paragraph 1322 mm-hmm. of the Catechism. The Holy Eucharist completes Christian initiation. Those who have been raised to the dignity of the royal priesthood by baptism mm-hmm. and configured more deeply to Christ by confirmation participate with the whole community in the Lord's own sacrifice by means of the Eucharist. You know, one of the most common quotes that we use all the time is the quote from Cardinal Avery Dulles, mm-hmm. God bless his soul, that he emphasized the necessity of continuing to evangelize our separated brethren because their baptism needs to be completed right. in the Eucharist.
Right.
And that's really just following the teaching of Christ when he said in John 6 that unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life within you.
Right.
The necessity, our Lord said, of this sacrament. We can't take it for granted. We can't just say, well, they don't know, so it doesn't matter. Or, you know, it's a good thing, and they seem to be good people. Well, that's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't rest there.
Right.
We if we love them, we can't rest there.
Right. Yeah, and fidelity to the church, our answer to the question is, yes, people still need to become Catholic. You know, but we see this, again, this is a positive opportunity, especially for us. Our main demographic, our main target, you know, and there, you know, there are lifelong Catholics in our audience, as well as many people who have embraced the church from different traditions. And you know that there's an opportunity here. There are people who, you know, as I said earlier, they believe in Christ. They've come to know Christ, and they want to follow him. Well, they need to be hooked up with the fullness, and that's the opportunity here. As there's so much scandal in the church, so many problems in our culture, so many things to be negative about, so many things to worry about and to pray about, we have this opportunity to invite baptized, on-fire Christians who want the truth. We have the opportunity to invite them into the fullness of truth in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and there's the maybe just one last thing to mention also is that we all know that there's this increase in what's called nuns in our culture.
N-O-N-E-S, N-O-N-E-S.
Yeah, we wish there was an increase of religious sisters, but it's really an increase of young people especially who do not have any faith at all, who don't go to church. Maybe they learned it from their parents because their parents are becoming lax, and so that whatever reason. And though that, on the one hand, isn't our primary charism of our apostolate, we're not out trying to convert the atheist, yet we are, because almost all of our resources online are specifically to clarify the truth in the midst of this great confusion. And so by grace, the heart of a complete unbeliever, a complete uninformed young person out there, if the grace opens their heart to be looking somewhere, that's why we want our resources available online to clarify what they may have heard in common speaking in culture that denigrates the Catholic Church, or maybe they met a Catholic that didn't know their faith very well, and so they're confused. If they come to our website, you get involved with our community, they can get their questions answered, and hopefully being drawn back to our Lord Jesus Christ in the church.
Right. So that's it. Thanks for watching. And again, especially to all of you who are supporters of our work with your prayer or your financial support, we really appreciate that. And we hope you'll stick around for the continuing journey as, again, we share the truth and beauty of the Catholic Church with our non-Catholic Christian brothers and sisters. Thanks, and God bless.